We're so thankful that you are here today to worship in the house of the Lord today. And we are looking together, we're journeying together to go deeper with God in our relationship through Christ by faith. And we've been studying together what has been entitled the Song of Ascents, or A Pilgrim's Journey of Praise. And this morning, it started with Psalm 120, 121, and now we are at 122. Now, there's a statement on the screen this morning, and you might find that that statement is kind of maybe an oxymoron or strange. Maybe you've never thought about it, but have you ever experienced, or maybe you caused this experience? I hope not. But maybe you've experienced this next slide. Does going to church make you happy? Does going to church make you happy? Does it give you a sense of joy? Are you glad when you attend? And are you glad when you hear others attending church? Well, I'm not going to go to church because, you know, that person's going there. Oh, I'm not going to go to church. Or maybe the best arguments that you've ever had in your family life was Saturday night or Sunday morning when you were getting ready to go to church. Hurry up, dear, we're going to be late. I don't know why I married you. You always make me late. We never say things like that or think those things, do we? So the question this morning is, does attending church make you happy? Let's look at this together. On the screen is a different translation. It's the contemporary English version. And it states Psalm 122 this way. It made me glad when they said, "Let's go to the house of the Lord." Jerusalem, we are standing inside your gates. Jerusalem, what a strong and beautiful city you are. Every tribe of the Lord obeys him and comes to you to praise his name. David's royal throne is here where justice rules. Jerusalem, we pray that you will have peace and that all will go well for those who love you. May there be peace inside your city walls and in your palaces. Because of my friends and my relatives, I will pray for peace. And because of the house of the Lord, our God, I will work for your good. Wow. What a beautiful passage for the pilgrim on journey to meet with his God. Remember that if you were living in Old Testament times, there was that command to go travel and seek the Lord at least during three times of festivals throughout the year. So you would have to leave what you're doing and go travel to Jerusalem. But you were eager to do so. You were willing to do so. You had a desire to do so. Why? Because you were going to meet God. In the city of God, in the temple of God, in the place of God. And you were going to declare his praises. And so as a pilgrim, this was your sole purpose. I am going to worship God in his presence and praise his name. The one, as we learned last week, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who is the maker of heaven and earth. I'm going into the temple of God to meet the presence of God and be there with him, the one who created heaven and earth. And so as a pilgrim, you were on that journey's road. You were traveling that way. You were going there. So we come to this and we see that question for us today, does church, going to church, make you happy? There was a Harvard study in 2018 that was released by the T.H. Chan School of Public Health, and it found that children who attended Mass weekly or had an active prayer life were more positive and had greater life satisfaction once they reached their 20s. These young adults had a tendency to choose a healthier lifestyle, avoiding drinking, smoking, drug use, and sexual promiscuity. And they used a sample of over 5,000 children. The director of this press release said, "Many children are raised religiously, and our study shows that this can powerfully affect their health behaviors, mental health, and overall happiness and well-being." In February 2019, there was a Pew Research poll that was released. And states there, even Oprah Winfrey kind of promoted it on one of her blogs. And the author there writes that after analyzing the survey data, the Pew researchers found that frequent churchgoers are more satisfied overall, not to mention those who are religiously active smoke and drink less than those who aren't active at church. In a nutshell, what they found is that 36% of actively religious adults describe themselves as very happy, compared with just a quarter of both religiously inactive and unaffiliated Americans. So the question comes, are you happy when you go to attend church? I pray and hope that you are. And I pray and hope that you are, not just because of who's going to be there, but because of who we are going to worship. God Almighty Himself. We gather together as a local congregation. And just think about it, other congregations in our city and in our community and around the globe are meeting together to worship the name above all names, Jesus Christ. And there's no other name under heaven by which men can be saved. Now, we may think, well, you know, it's not, everybody's not, you know, worshiping God on Sunday. You know, attendance has gone down and it's terrible what's happening. But there are more people, according to Eugene Peterson, that are worshiping on Sunday mornings than that are on the golf course. There are more people that are worshiping together in the house of the Lord than there are attending sporting events, a National Football League game. And sometimes we see the big crowd and we think, oh man, church is failing. But for this psalmist, he says, oh, for me, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Wow. Let us go to the house of the Lord. In fact, Eugene Peterson, in his book, Along Obedience in the Same Direction, he says this, Psalm 122 is the song of a person who decides to go to church and worship God. It is a sample of the complex, diverse, and worldwide phenomena of worship that is common to all Christians. It is an excellent instance of what happens when a person worships. We looked at together Psalm 120, which was sort of like a psalm of repentance. 121 was a psalm of help. Today I would kind of like put this as one psalm of gladness. These qualities the pilgrim on the road to worship experiences as he or she desires to be in the presence of God. It's like the psalmist said in Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. What brings you delight? An ice cream cone with chocolate on top and sprinkles. Ice cream sandwich. I can go there. Something chocolate for my wife. What brings you delight? But nothing compares to being in the presence of the Lord. To sense His presence. To enjoy His comfort and peace. To be mindful of the truth of His Word. And that somehow He takes these, we're dust in the wind, as Kansas would say, but He takes this dust and He allows us to lift up songs of praise. That's pretty spectacular. There's a wonderful picture. Guess who it is? I'm the little guy with the bow tie. That's my brother. When my brother met Jesus, he started taking me on the back of his motor scooter. I was scared to death. I was like 5 years old, 4 or 5. That was back in the day, man. I was like, I had to hang on for dear life, you know, and just go, 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 go. But my brother got the permit, got his license, and one of his treats was taking me to church with him. I hung on for dear life. But arriving at church with my brother was when I was introduced to Jesus. To Jesus. To be in His presence. To be in fellowship with other believers. It's a joyful thing to do. To go to the house of the Lord. And let me tell you, the enemy doesn't want you to experience that. He doesn't want you to experience joy when you go to the house of the Lord. He doesn't want you to experience the presence of Christ when you go to the house of the Lord. He doesn't want you to enjoy all the blessings of fellowship with one another in the house of the Lord. No, he wants you to be miserable and mad. He wants you to say, I was mad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord because I want to watch the Golf Network on TV today. Or I wanted to go to the beach. Or you know, Pastor, oh man, I can worship Jesus better by myself on the beach with the waves than being in fellowship. May it never be. May we not listen to the lies of ourselves that we conjure up or the flesh, but may we look and say, why is the reason that we gather together to worship? Is it to become, forgive me, a political movement? No. Is it to be some conservative faction group? No. We gather together in His name to declare His praises because of what God has done. What has God done? He has given His one and only Son to die on the cross for you and for me, all of our sin, past, present, future, so we could be made right with God, so we could declare the praises of Him forever and ever and ever. Amen. That's what God has done. And that's why the church gathers together in His name. And there's some benefits and there's some great blessings in the house of the Lord when we gather in His name. Do you know what they are? Have you forgotten them? Oh, don't forget them. Just look around. There's a blessing. Person next to you. Yes, the person next to you is a blessing. Or, may I say, the person that sits way over there is a blessing. Or, may I say, the person that's way over there is a blessing. They are. They're a blessing. They're your brother and sister in Christ. Or if they haven't come to that place in faith in Jesus, they are yet to be that brother or sister in Christ. Pray for them. Reach out to them. Love them, smother him with Christ-like love, and see what God does. Oh, there's some blessings. There's no other place I'd rather be. And yet we find every excuse we can to say, I don't want to be with God's people. I don't want to be gathering in God's presence. I don't want to declare the praises of Him. I don't want to learn His truth. Because we're so caught up with whatever it is that we're caught up with. And you can just fill in that blank. I'm so caught up with that I don't want to be in the house of the Lord. Now, sometimes sickness keeps us from coming to the house of the Lord. And sometimes conflicts happen. But you know that I'm talking about those times when I need to be in God's presence. And man, it's like my flesh is saying, no, I don't want to go there. But we need to go to the house of the Lord to worship in His name. We may not feel like it when we go. We may not enjoy it while we're there. But if we allow the Holy Spirit to work into our hearts and our lives and speak to us, God does a miraculous thing. We may enter into His courts with grumpiness, but because God does a miraculous thing, we get to leave His courts with praise and peace. So let's look at the benefits. Benefits are something that is advantageous or good. It's a gain. So what is the gains of going to the house of the Lord? There's great gains for me because I discovered Jesus. And I trust there's great gains for you. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. So the first benefit of going to the house of the Lord, it brings joy. Joy. Gladness. Happiness. Joy. I've got the joy, joy, joy. Where? Down in my heart. We need to let it bubble over. Bubble over. One commentator wrote this way, into the house of the Lord. Here Jehovah dwells, making His home in the hearts of the sincere worshipers. Here His majestic glory is displayed with overwhelming splendor. Here the mysteries of His providential dealings are explained. Here His will is made known with unmistakable plainness and emphasis, illustrated with the commentary of passing events. Here the worshiper has received his most memorable blessings. His fears have been banished, his murmurs silenced, his false ideas corrected, his faith invigorated, his soul tuned to harmony and love. The blissful associations of the sanctuary in the past assist the worshiper every time he visits the loved and sacred shrine. Many are thankful in the recollection of those whose advice and example led them to the sanctuary. This psalmist, this journeyman, this pilgrim, he was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. As others joined the pilgrim on his way to worship, there was joy. As he hears others desiring to attend worship, there was joy. Again, the psalmist wrote in Psalm 16:11, you make me know to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your presence there is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 43:4 says, then I will go to the altar of God, to my God, and to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. God Almighty, we are to love Him, yes, the commandment says, with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. But in that love for Him, He's to be our joy, our delight. And as we go to the house of the Lord, there should be great gladness. Wow. I remember as a kid, that same church, a little bit years later, had a different pastor. My dad was part of the board. And there were times we'd go to church, and I could just feel the tension. in the car as we were driving to church. You've never felt the tension going to church, have you? And we went to church. And then after church, it was like death. It was awful. It was like everybody in the church was mad at everybody. For what reason? I was a little kid. I had no idea. I don't know if they were arguing over, that was a good word, arguing, arguing over the color of the carpet, or wanting a different time change, or whatever little thing it was. But there was no expression of God first. No joy. The psalmist says, God, you are my exceeding joy. Another commentator says, David, writing this psalm, if he was attributed to the psalm, he's writing this and he's looking back and he's seeing the worship that takes place. And there's gladness there in the house of the Lord. Verses 2 and 3, going to the house of the Lord brings wonder and praise. Wonder and praise. I just can imagine this pilgrim standing there, finally making it to Jerusalem, and going, wow, wow, wow. What a sight, filled with wonder. We're standing inside your gates, the gates of the Lord. We are admiring the beauty and the strength of the Lord and of his city. You are a God, the psalmist says in Psalm 77:14, who works wonders. You have made known your might among the people. Have you ever stopped just for a moment, just paused and looked at the sunrise or looked at the sunset and just got filled with wonder over the majesty of creation that our God has made this? Last week, NASA announced, did you hear about that telescope that got announced? I can't remember the telescope's name, sorry, but it got announced. It took pictures, more in definition, high quality pictures of galaxies far, far away from us. But how beautiful they were. Guess who made that? God, the maker of heaven and earth. We need to be a people filled with not losing the wonder of what God does and what God makes. And then we're to make known his deeds among the people. We are to praise him. This pilgrim came along the journey's road in haste there in Jerusalem. He sees the city. I imagine that his hearts are filled with wonder and praise and joy because he is there. Praise the Lord, the psalmist says in Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise the Lord. Going to the house of the Lord, thirdly, brings a testimony of thanks. He says here in verses 3, at or Jerusalem built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. The tribes of Israel are gathering together at these special festivals and they're giving thanks to the Lord. As 1 Chronicles 16:8-9 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wondrous works. Again, to quote Eugene Peterson, he says this, another reason Christians keep returning to worship is that it nurtures our need to be in relationship with God. Worship is the place where we obey the command to praise God, to give thanks to the name of God. This is what it means to be Israel. This command to give thanks runs right down the center of all Christian worship, a decree, a word telling us that we ought to do and that we ought to do is to praise the Lord. When we obey the command to praise God and worship, our deep essential need to be in relationship with God is nurtured. Wow. I remember growing up, they used to have on Sunday nights, the gospel was really centered on those of who don't know Jesus yet. Bring them out on Sunday night. We're going to give the gospel and have an altar call, and people will come to know the Lord. And in that time, they'd give a testimony. Do I have a witness? They'd give a testimony. I remember one elderly lady, I called her Grandma Hunter, and she was like a grandma because she made the best, this is for you, Nancy, made the best chicken and dumplings and biscuits. Man, she made great. Made great chicken and dumplings. And we would go over to her house every Sunday and have chicken and dumplings and biscuits and either turnip greens or mustard greens. It was wonderful. But every Sunday, she'd get up. She might not have anything to say. And she had to be like 300 years old. And she'd get up and she'd say, Pastor, interrupt the service. Pastor, I just got to say something. Pastor, yes. Praise the Lord anyhow. And then she'd sit back down. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Praise the Lord. Anyhow, it was part of her nature, part of her being, part of her heart's longing. And in her heart was a generous spirit, one who gave, because she praised the Lord. Her relationship with God was in a right alignment. When we come to worship, the Holy Spirit is just there wanting and ready and willing to take all the junk that you've experienced this past week and to fine-tune you, to remove it and to tune you to be in alignment with God Almighty in His Spirit. Allow Him to do that. Next, we see that going to the house of the Lord is where justice rules. Now you might think, not anymore. Oh. Here the psalmist says, I'm going to Jerusalem. This is where the city fathers would sit at the gate. David would sit there and he would rule and he would give judgment on the people. He would decide matters. Going to the house of the Lord, yes, is where true justice rules. God's justice and righteousness and judgments are known. God's grace continues to flow in the church, making men and women right with Him. Jeremiah 9:24 says, but let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices... I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. The biblical word for judgment means the decisive word by which God straightens things out and puts them right. God straightens things out and puts them right. God straightens things out, puts them right. Many times we say, oh, let justice be done. Let justice rule, and it's only if I get my way. God is sovereign. He knows all. And His judgment is coming one day. And His justice will be made known. And He will straighten things out and put things right. Though it may not be right now, but it will be, because Christ is coming again. Thrones of judgments are places that the word is announced. Judgment is not a word about things describing them. It is a word that does things, putting love in motion, applying mercy, nullifying wrong, ordering goodness. Our society may have a misconception of what true justice is. because our society has left the first love. Maybe you've never known the first love of knowing God. When I come to worship and I come in the house of the Lord and I get to learn the truths of God's Word and apply them to my life, I begin by the Holy Spirit's nurturing me to understand what God likes, what He loves, and what He hates. And He begins to work in my life in such a way that He aligns my walk with His so I can please Him. And I begin to love what He loves. And I begin to like what He likes. And I begin to hate what He hates. Why? Because I've been in the presence of God. I've been saturating myself with the Word of God. And I've been declaring the praises of God. So now I understand the character of God by His Spirit. Because I'm in relationship with Him. I leave the matters to Him. Bring it before Him in your prayer closet. And let Him work as only He can. I see also, going to the house of the Lord promotes peace. Those on this pilgrim journey, what do they say in verses 6 and 7 here? It says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. Oh, I have a good friend who is a pastor in the Alliance, and I love him dearly. But he drove me nuts because all the time he would pray in his prayer, and Lord, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And I'm going, what on earth is he doing that for? Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Well, the psalmist here says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. In other words, pray for peace. This pilgrim is prayed for peace and blessing that it may go well. Peace will abound and be abundant inside the city of God, the house of the Lord. Pray for peace. Yes, for the physical city of Jerusalem, pray for peace. But also for the house of worship where you attend, pray that God's peace is permeated throughout the body of Christ. That chorus Kirk Kaiser wrote, they'll know we are Christians by our anger and hatred toward one another. They'll know we are Christians by our strong opinions, I'm right and you're wrong. They'll know we are Christians by my political affiliation. Oh, I went there again. They'll know we are Christians by our love for Him and our love for each other. Wow. And what is a product of that? Peace. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Psalm 37 says, mark the blameless and behold the upright, for there is a future for the man of peace. Jesus said this also in John 16. He says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. There is peace when we gather together to worship God Almighty and bring glory and honor to His name. We're desiring to be in His presence. We've gone on this journey and there is joy as we enter in because of the benefits and the blessings that God has done and is doing in our lives. And there's peace. We can be peaceful one another, and peaceful in our community. Peace-filled people. Going to the house of the Lord produces unity. Verses 8 and 9. Unity. Because of my friends, he says, my relatives in the house of the Lord our God, I'll pray for peace. I will say, peace be within you. I will seek your good. I will work for your good. For my brothers and companions' sake. In other words, I'm caring about my brothers and my companions and those with me as we gathered into the house of the Lord. I'm going to greet them with peace. I'm going to greet them with peace. When you come into the house of the Lord, as you enter into His presence, how do you greet your brother and sister in Christ? Well, I hope nobody notices me. Or, how are you? I'm fine. Right. We should greet one another, joyfully looking forward to gathering together to worship God Almighty. And this should be joy in our hearts, bubbling over, being glad because we're together. We're together. We're together. We get to be together. It was wonderful this morning that we all clapped when we said, Neva is here. Because it's great to be together. It's great to be together. Maybe I should put that on a t-shirt. It's great to be together. We may not see eye to eye. You may not like to drink coffee. That's okay. I still love you. But it's great to be together. Because we're family. You're my brother and sister in Christ. And we serve an amazing God who is almighty, who's all powerful, who's all knowing. He's still on the throne. He is ruling from on high. And He wants us as His children, as His kids, to enter into His presence with gladness of heart. And when we look around, we get to see one another. We could say, oh, I was glad when they said, hey, let's go to the house of the Lord. Let us go. Ephesians 4:3 says, He says, try your best to let God's Spirit keep your hearts united. Do this by living at peace. Peter said this, finally, all of you have unity of mind. Unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. And of course, the psalmist said in Psalm 133, he said, behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. Wow. Oh, may we enjoy gathering together in His name. May we not love brick and mortar and steeples and crosses and hymnals and songs of worship more than the one who gives these graciously to the church to bring praise to Him. May we love the Lord Jesus Christ, His presence in our midst, for He is the head of the church, the heavenly groom preparing His earthly bride for all eternity and His glory. May we be glad, joyful, rejoicing as we go to the house of the Lord to worship, as we hear of others going. And may this well up in our hearts songs of joy, thanksgiving, and praise to Him. Hallelujah. And may we continue to worship Him together. Let nothing stop you from gathering together in His name. Amen. So, what is Jesus, the Lord, His Spirit saying to you this morning? Are you experiencing these blessings and benefits? What is my attitude as I go into the house of the Lord? What do I need to receive? In order to receive the joy of the Lord, what do I need to do? Is there something I need to do? Is there some sin I need to confess to get right with God? Is there some brother or sister I need to go to and say, hey, I'm sorry, I was like grumpy and mean to you and I didn't mean to do that. Forgive me. Ouch. What do I need to do to receive the joy of the Lord? What is the Lord saying to me, and how will you respond to Him? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word to our heart this morning. And oh, I pray that we will be a people, men and women of God, who say, yes, I'm glad to enter the house of the Lord. And yes, I'm glad when others enter into the house of the Lord, because we're going there to meet you. To meet you. To allow your Holy Spirit to move upon us in our minds and our hearts and our attitudes. To allow your Spirit free reign as we reflect. For you, O God, the maker of heaven and earth, and galaxies and galaxies and galaxies. For you, O God, to change us. You've blessed us so much. Praise your name. You've given us family. You've given us friends. You provide for our needs. You hear our prayers. You put up with our whining. Lord, you forgive our sins. You move us to the place where we can declare your praises, where we can sing hallelujah to your name. You've healed us in body. You've healed us in spirit, removed our sins as far as the east is from the west, and remember them no more. You've given us the gift of eternal life. You've given us the seal of your Holy Spirit abiding in our hearts. Praise you. We are your children. So, Father, move in us to that place where we delight in you continually, where we enjoy your presence, and that nothing will keep us from gathering together, because you make us glad. This we pray in your precious name.